and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two-wheeled. I'm your host, Lewis Duncan, and joining me, as ever, is Oriol Puigdemont. And on this week's show, we will be discussing all the events and all the talking points from the Spanish Grand Prix, Pecco Bagnaia, and the factory Ducati, finally a winner in 2022. And it's funny to say that, Yuri, because at Jerez last November in the test, we all thought Ducati were onto a real winner with its GP22. You know, Pecco said the bike was perfect and he'd already improved on a perfect bike. And for the first four or five races this year, that hasn't happened. But now, finally, things have clicked.
Yes, hello everybody. But at the same time, we have to be a bit more, we have to wait a bit more, because don't forget that, I mean, specifically this point, the track, we were here November, and this is the track where Pecco said that the bike was almost ready to race. Then we've had five tracks where the race, where the bike was not ready to race. And now we are back in this track and the bike is ready to race again. So I think we have to wait a bit, because maybe it's something specific with this track, with these temperatures, with this rubber, with this tarmac, these kind of things. Because we've had different bikes with same specific problem here on the front. So, yeah, I think there are particular conditions in Jerez. So I would wait a bit.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of an interesting turnaround. It seems, listening to what Pecco said over the weekend, that this isn't an overnight thing. Since Argentina, they've been tweaking the bike setup. The big problem Pecco's had, I think, has been the front end and the confidence on the front end. It was something he used to have last year, where he could really brake hard and get the bike turned. It's something he couldn't do in the GP22. And I think what he was saying, for too long, they were trying to adapt the bike rather than let him adapt himself. And it seems since kind of the last couple of races, and particularly Portimao, we didn't really see it because he had to come from last and he was injured. But it seems they are finding his feeling on the bike. And if we look at the way Fabio's riding the Yamaha, maybe the bike itself might not be perfect, but at the very least, the rider seems to have found a way to ride it.
Yeah, and we've seen a really, really, really good Pecco last weekend. I mean, Pecco was at its best level, even not being 100% fit for their problem on his shoulder. I would say that we've seen the best version of Pecco. And yeah, I'm just hoping that he can carry on this momentum also in Le Mans in 2 weeks' time. That would be perfect for the championship.
Exactly. I mean, what we saw in Jerez is kind of, I hope, and I think is maybe what the real picture of this championship will be. We saw both Fabio Quartararo and Pecco a cut above the rest. They were clearly just better. They were, you know, the next best rider was almost 12 seconds behind him in third. We haven't seen domination like that from someone for a long, long time in MotoGP. It was the two of them were brilliant all weekend, and it was, we've been waiting for this. We've been waiting all winter to see this, and it looks like now finally we're getting to see that.
Yeah. Let's wait and see. I don't wanna say something and then in 2 weeks say, well, yes, but thought, and if so. I think it was a really, really, really clear statement about what Ducati is able to do and what Pecco, what both are able to do. But we need to wait, because the first five rounds have been a bit of a full of ups and downs. So, which is, what is clear is that in this kind of tracks, small and tracks, Yamaha is always there, and is apparently is always going to be there. So let's wait and see, because we have two quite similar tracks. Jerez and Le Mans are not Sepang and Jerez. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I would say that in 2 weeks we will have a clear picture.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you say, you know, a track like this Yamaha will always be good in. Yes, but I mean, again, we only saw Fabio being the best, the rider. I mean, the next Yamaha was 15th in the race, which is, I think if you actually look at the combined points total for the other three Yamaha riders next to Fabio's, it's only 32 points they've scored collectively, and that would only be good enough to put them 13th in the Riders' Championship. That goes some way to show that even though Fabio, not all of his races have been great this year, he's been getting the best out of what he can. And then when the bike is good, like we saw at Portimao, like we saw at Jerez, he is able to then get the results that we know Fabio can get.
I mean, we've seen that with Honda in the last years. We've seen exactly the same picture with Honda.
And you know, more years ago, Ducati as well.
Exactly. I mean, with Dobby and of course, Casey was the one, the only one being able to ride that Ducati at its best. So I think it can be more about the philosophy of the bikes and the philosophy of the technical side than other things. Because if you look at Honda, if you try to do a more, let's say, rideable bike, you're probably gonna miss the best skills from one of your riders. So you will have a more easy bike, but probably not as competitive as it could be built in a different way. I don't know if I...
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, I guess in a MotoGP where everything is as tight as it is, a manufacturer can't really afford to...
I mean, look at Aprilia, it's the same.
Exactly. You know, you exactly look at the gulf between Aleix and Maverick, and we know Maverick's a great rider, but yeah, it's true. And I wonder then, you know, for the past few, there used to be this, the phrase, you know, back in the late 2000s and early 2010s, the aliens, you know, the really top factory guys, that kind of disappeared for a while because everything got so close. But it almost seems like we're kind of getting that back a little bit, because if you look at like some Fabio, Aleix, Pecco. Yeah,
I would say that this kind of tendency, it is more related to the technical decisions than have been put in place in the last 10 years. Because at the moment, from the technical side, it's all very, very, very closed. And they need to adapt to this, let's say, window. And just a small tweak in that technical things can make a big difference. Even the rider is not able to, you know, to be there because of all is super, super, super close, and most of the bikes are really, really, really close. It's the only way that I can explain that, or I can imagine that, because I mean, we can talk, and it opens the door to another debate. Okay, when we say anybody can win, is that good? That's what I'm asking myself.
Yeah. Well, I agree, because
and don't get me wrong, it's not that I'm not happy with this kind of mixed things. We have 5 winners in 6 races, which is good. But at the same time, I say, okay, anybody can win. I say, well, is that good?
You say it's good, but I, in a way, you know, it would be good if this was from a championship that was being promoted better. If this was Formula One, this would be front page news on every
yeah, okay, but forget about that. I mean, just in terms of, I mean, promotion is really good because you have a lot of people on paper not interested in racing and in MotoGP more attract to the sport. But forget about that. It's just in terms of pure racing, pure sport. Okay, so anybody can win. What does it mean? That they are all at the same level? I don't think so.
Yeah.
We still have aliens.
Yeah.
Because we know that.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, you know, I agree. It's a sort of a two-pronged kind of thing that
I don't have any answer. I'm just saying that it's a bit difficult topic to have an opinion on, at least me.
Yeah. From my point of view, from a sporting point of view, I think on the one hand, it's good, but on the other hand, it's not good because you need the top guys. You need your Fabios and your Pecos and your Marks to be winning every single week, because then you have the benchmark, you have the reference for the other riders. But from a purely kind of outside view of watching the sport, you need those guys as well to be there every week, because it's better for fans to be able to follow it than, you know, right now the people who don't watch MotoGP will look every and see a different result every week and think, who's good? Is anyone good? You know, it's harder to see the good guys in that instance. But going back to Jerez, we sort of did see that a little bit. We saw three guys in that race, four guys in that race stood out as being the kind of best guys right now.
Yeah. And just to finish with that, okay? I mean, we are super happy in Formula One that we have Max, we have Leclerc winning races, probably at some point Checo and also Sainz will be able to win races. We are expecting somebody else, maybe McLaren, maybe, but we know that they are getting competitive, and we know that they are really, 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 I mean, outstanding drivers there. We also have Lewis, we have Russell, okay, that probably they will reduce the gap, and they are trying, and at some point they can win a race. And it's, let's put it this way, you can expect them to win races, okay? At the moment in MotoGP, anybody can win a race, which it's what I'm have some doubts if it's good or less good.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, four guys in that race stood out to me as being, I think, going forward as being the guys that will, at least for the next few races, be the main kind of riders, which is Pecco, Fabio, Aleix, and despite what he says about the bike, Mark, because we've seen again Mark riding over the limit of the Honda to get a very good result. And once Mark figures the bike out, he will be there. There's no doubt about that. The talent is still there. Yes, he's had problems with injury and blah blah blah, but it's still Marc Márquez. Once the bike is good for him, he'll be there.
Yeah, I think he's coming back. He's definitely coming back. Just keep our fingers crossed, not because I'm a Marc fan, but just because keep our fingers crossed so he can complete this recovery, so he doesn't need to crash. I think that's why he's riding, I wouldn't say in a cautious mode, because I wouldn't say that with Mark, but I think a bit more aware of the risks.
Yeah. Well, he said that. He's riding consistent but slow, because if he rides faster, then he will crash. And we saw that in the race. I think we saw a couple of years ago on the 2019 bike, Marquez would have thrown that bike up the inside of Jack Miller as the first opportunity, because he would have had the confidence in the front end. We know he hasn't had that this year, and I think we saw that very much in that race, was he spent so much time behind Jack because he didn't have the confidence to do it. And then when he finally made that one move at turn 13, he had a big moment on the front end. But the fact he saved that, yes, it was a left corner, the fact he saved that was interesting, because he hasn't been able to do that for a couple of years.
Yes, but it was left side. And that's 100%. I mean, it's good because it shows his reaction time, that he's starting to be there. I mean, starting to be there. He's there. I'm a bit still, let's say worried about his right shoulder. Don't forget when he threw the gloves, he did it with the left arm. He was not able to reach the public with the right one. Let's see if at some point he will be able. But I asked him after the race, and he says, I'm getting there, but I don't know. I asked him about the margin. Which margin do you have? He doesn't want to know, he doesn't want to tell me, or he doesn't even know the margin that he has. So,
We know. I mean,
and the bike is not there.
What was interesting, I thought you said, and it's a little bit related. It's kind of similar to what Pecco said, in the fact that Pecco said they spent too long trying to adapt the bike to him instead of him adapting to the bike. Mark said the same thing. Like they've tried to adapt the bike to his riding style, and the bike doesn't like that. So he now needs to figure out how to adapt his riding style to the bike. We saw that in qualifying. He made quite a big change, and he had a couple of crashes on Saturday, and it was generally quite a difficult day. We have this test going, as we're recording, there's a test going on at Jerez right now on the Monday. That'll be important. It'll be important for him to figure out the riding style. I don't know what Honda will learn from that, because we know that the bike works well when there's a lot of grip on track, as Paul has said. So from that point of view, they're not going to learn anything. But if Mark can at least figure the bike out, that will be interesting. And I guess we won't see that until Le Mans.
I think in that regard, I think that the race from last Sunday was very useful. It will be very useful. All the data will be very useful for Honda. So they will probably learn a lot from that race.
Sure. Absolutely. And it was a great ride, and it was a good ride as well from Jet Miller behind him. Let's not forget that. We'll talk about Ducati in a sec. And Aleix, that was another great ride from Aleix. And I think we do have to now say he is, for the time being, a championship challenger. These are real results. These aren't results coming in funny circumstances, but...
I mean, on paper, yes, but the first time that you are being a challenger contender, I still want to see him being in that position. Not now, because now there's
races,
no pressure.
Later in the season.
Exactly, but further, of course, on paper, he is 100%, but... I want to see that Aprilia in different kind of tracks and how he is able to manage that pressure.
Yeah, for sure. That'll be the key thing, is Aleix has at no point in his career been in a position like this.
To be honest, I don't see him struggling with that pressure, because in a moment of his life, he's really relaxed. He is super proud about what he has achieved already. So in my opinion, I don't see why he would be struggling.
Well, he said as much in the press conference. He said that he knows that this train only comes once. He's fully aware that he is coming to the end of his career, and he knows that...
He doesn't have any urgency.
Exactly. He knows that whatever happens...
He doesn't have any needs, because he's in a moment of his life where he has achieved a lot of things. He has won a race, which is a huge relief.
On an Aprilia as well.
On an Aprilia. So I think he's done more than most of the people were expecting from him. So in this way, it's good. He's super welcome. But at the same time, I don't see him struggling with that pressure.
I think you're right.
That's something really good to have on the pocket.
Yeah, he is in the most unique position I think any rider has ever been in, and the fact that
he's nothing to lose.
Exactly. He was never expected to be a championship challenger, and whatever happens, he knows that he's done the absolute best he can do, and that'll be enough.
And not only that, he will probably put the Aprilia in the best position ever. Despite being in the end a title contender or not. So, it's just time for him to enjoy, in my opinion.
The likes of Pecco and Fabio won't be able to enjoy, because they're expected to win. Aleix can, exactly. That will be an interesting thing if he can keep this up for the next, you know, for the rest of the season, which it, right now, you know, the signs are definitely positive. I think we will now enter a phase of the championship where people are going to have to step up to beat Pecco and Fabio, but we will see.
Yep. But Pecco cannot concede more big mistakes or big problems.
Unfortunately, because of the bike, he's not allowed any more mistakes because he just didn't have a great start to the season. And 33 points doesn't sound like a lot, but when you've got a rider like Fabio who is consistently every week putting in good points, even when the bike isn't working for him, you know, that's very hard to beat. Of course, it raises a couple of interesting things. Ducati, Yamaha, what happens for 2023? You know, Fabio appears to be putting a bit more pressure on Yamaha to meet his management's demands. There was rumours over the Jerez weekend that a deal had been signed. Lynn Jarvis told us nothing had been signed. Or he at least told us what he wanted to tell us, I think is the best way to put it.
Well, there was a misunderstanding there, not with us, but with the other journalists, which, from Yamaha, he misunderstood on he went too far on the quotes from Lynn. In my opinion, it is nothing really big because we all know that both parts are happy and are willing to continue their relationship, their partnership. And we've said that since the beginning. I mean, since even before the season started, that the most logical thing would be for both parts keep going. And we kept saying that when the bike was not at its best, and we keep saying that at the moment. So I trust them when they say, despite being Yamaha, I trust them when they say that the deal has not been signed yet, but I don't really care if it's signed yet or it's going to be signed in the next weeks, because I think that we all feel that this deal will be signed.
At Ducati, I mean, obviously Pecco has his seat, but his teammate, we don't know yet. You know, we know it's between Jack. Well, we know it's between Jorge Martin and Enea Bastianini. We know Jack's been, looking at an LCR switch. The interesting thing is that Martin has had an absolutely, you know, without putting too fine a point on it, it's been a shit season for Martin so far. It's not what we expected. 4 crashes in 5 races. Bastianini, yes, has had a difficult race in Jerez, but has been more consistent, a couple of wins. You know, it feels to me like Ducati's decision is a bit easier now.
And what would you say?
Well, I would put Enea on the bike. But if I was Ducati management, I would put Enea on the bike. Yes, Martin's very good, but you can only look at what's in front of you right now. And from the outside, it's very easy to look at Martin's races as maybe him feeling a bit of pressure to try and prove himself for that seat.
Yes, but don't forget that
he's gone over the limit.
Yeah, but don't forget that he's racing with a 22 bike, which is pretty I'm not saying that they have to keep or to put Martin in the factory, right? But I think that they need to have a bit of a bigger outlook the matter in a bigger picture perspective, let's put it this way. I think that they need to decide what they want, not only in terms of the factory team, but in terms of the company. Let me explain. They already know, and Ducati already knows, that Martin will probably leave Ducati if he doesn't get this red Ducati factory bike next year. At the same time, I think that Bastianini would probably stay or would accept a factory rider conditions or role in a satellite team. So I think that that's what they are trying to analyze, because in my opinion, they don't want Martin to go. They won't let Martin go. And the only way that he doesn't go is to give him the factory ride, the factory in a red bike. Is that fair? Is that not fair? I'm not the one judging.
That's racing, I suppose.
Exactly. So, the same happens with Jack Miller. I mean, they want to keep Jack for the Pramac. Okay. But they need to compete, or they need to know, or they need to analyze if they will be able to give him, to satisfy him, not only in money wise, but they need to understand Ducati will be able to satisfy him and to match the offers that he can have. I mean, he's been in talks with Honda, and he's also been in talks with Suzuki. He's also, which is normal because the managers, that's what they do. But Ducati needs to understand if his demands are realistic for a brand like Ducati. Sorry about that speech.
No, that's very, very interesting. It's a fair point you make. I mean, you know, in an ideal world, you would look at results and then make a decision. It's a fair point about Martin. He is a hot property. I guess you'd have to look at it, though, if, you know, in that factory seat. I suppose it's an answer you could never really know until it happens, but will he be able to match Pecco? Will he iron out all these mistakes? I guess that's the question Ducati needs to ask as well.
Yeah. But, I mean, at the moment they say wait and see, because I think Mugello is a key point of the championship, because there are some deadlines there in their contracts. So, it's not, we have to wait a bit. I think the situation is almost ready to be unlocked, but not unlocked yet.
Yeah. And once it does become unlocked, it'll be a bit of a domino effect. You get the impression.
Yeah, but at the moment, I think that everybody pretty much agrees that Fabio and Yamaha will sign. And yeah, the main question marks are in other garages.
Yeah, for sure. That'll be interesting to keep an eye on over the next few weeks. On that note, Yuri, we'll wrap up there. I know it's been a really long weekend for you, so you need to you deserve an afternoon off, I think.
Yeah.
And we'll reconvene after Mugello for hopefully at Mugello Le Mans. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll reconvene after Le Mans for another podcast. Until then, thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you liked all of our other podcasts, you can go and listen to them all on your podcast platforms, and follow Autosport, motorsport.com for all your two-wheel news and features and what have you. Until the next time, keep looking after yourselves, and it is a very warm goodbye.